Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, joins us here on a Faulness Friday. And Kevin, is this like Christmas Day for you? How excited are you for tonight's game?
I'm more excited about a Faulness Friday than just about anything else. But yeah, there's nothing better than a Game 7. I mean, I've been able, in my tenure here with the Minnesota Wild, I've been able to experience three of them. Two of them back in 2003, another one back in 2014. So tonight will be my fourth in the two decades here covering the Minnesota Wild. And you know what? Each and every one of the first three times, it was exciting. They were all three on the road, and they came away with three victories. So hopefully we can make it four in a row.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about this series. I mean, we're down a 3-1. We win the last two. This last game, game number six, was so much different, I thought, especially in the first two periods. Were the teams playing tight? It was very defensive-minded. I mean, a lot of good checking and guys on the boards. I mean, there was a different flow in game six compared to others. Am I right there?
Well, there needed to be, from a Wild perspective, they couldn't play in Game 6 like they did in Game 5. Because I think, you know, let's be honest, they were kind of lucky to escape with the win in Game 5, considering the fact that Vegas, I mean, was skating all over them. They outshot them 22-1 in the middle frame, and yet somehow, some way, the Wild came away with the victory to push that into a Game 6. So, yeah, into Game 6, with the Wild having the last change, playing on home ice and all the other good stuff to go along with that, they were able to lock things down a little bit better, and I think that's good. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea for the Wild to get into a track meet where it's up and down the ice with the Vegas Golden Knights. And you know what? They kind of simplified things, mucked it up a little bit, felt that, especially those first 40 minutes, a really grinding type of hockey game. And, you know, scoreless after two, the Wild blow it open in the third, and that's why we're headed to a Game 7. So, yeah, I would say Games 1 and Game 6 were darn near perfection for the Wild, and those are two of the big wins they got in this series, and here we go. It should be a fun night.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, Knights and the Wild tonight, Game number 7. Cam Talbot, we got to talk about him because he is the guy that has kept the Wild in so many games. He pitched a shutout in the victory the other night. I mean, talk about this goaltender. How key has he been, not just in the postseason, but all season for our Minnesota Wild?
Yeah, there's no question that was something that Bill Guerin had to address coming into this year. They didn't feel comfortable moving forward with Devan Dubnyk. And then, you know as good as Alex Stalock was, you know, you didn't know if he was had the makings of being able to carry this team for an entire National Hockey League season. So he wanted to get a bona fide number one guy to lead this team coming into the year. And he went and he made the decision to go grab Cam Talbot, and it's been a match made in heaven. It's been phenomenal, and it's solidified that goaltender position. And I know Kaprizov and Fiala, they were both great in the regular season. Kaprizov probably, you know, the team MVP through the regular season in those 56 games, his first year in the National Hockey League. But Cam Talbot was right there on his heels. And then, for my money, you don't get to a seventh game without the play of Cam Talbot. He's been that good. And as good as Marc-Andre Fleury was early in this series, probably a little bit better than Cam Talbot, and that's not a shot at Talbot. Fleury was just that good. The tables have turned a little bit in favor of Cam Talbot. He's been lights out, especially in Game 6. Got his second shutout of the series, 23 saves, and, you know, has been rock solid. So of all the keys that are going to be important tonight in Game 7, he's got to be right there at the top of the list.
Now, Kevin, we talked about this last week after an injury. Who is going to be on the roster for the Minnesota Wild? Zach Parise had been a healthy scratch for a good number of games. Now that Parise is in the mix, we need him in the mix. He's like, I don't want to say reborn, but he's definitely been a nice shot in the arm for our Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, I just got off a Zoom call listening to him talk, and he says he never doubted it. He knew that he had it in him, just needed to get an opportunity, and he's been making the most of that opportunity. With Johansson going out, it's given an opportunity for Parise not only to jump in on the fourth line, which he did in his first game back, but he's now had an elevated role, playing in a pretty prominent position. Assuming everything stays the same tonight and reading the tea leaves, watching the morning skate today, it kind of looks like it will. So if that's the case, then he's on the left wing, Fiala on the right side with Ryan Hartman in the middle. And that's going to be an important line for this team. You know, as important as the Jewel Eric's neckline, which is extremely important to this team, and the Kaprizov line, which is very important to this team, you got to have an engaged Kevin Fiala. And having Zach Parise feed him the puck, like he did in that in Game 6, that was such a clutch move by Zach Parise, chipping that little pass up the sidewall up to Kevin Fiala, who was able to get a world-class feed over to Ryan Hartman. He finishes it off and ends up with the eventual game winner. You know, the game prior to that, you had Fiala on the board as well. I mean, that's a huge matchup to have those guys on helping each other out. And I think having that Zach's veteran leadership in this lineup is going to prove to be a huge thing for this team as they make their way in through this Game 7.
That put them up 1-0. We thought Vegas had tied things up at 1-1. You're sitting in the booth watching the game. Would have you lost your mind if they would have reversed that call on the Vegas no goal?
To me, it wasn't close. It wasn't the same as the Foligno one that was waved off. Jules Erickson next scored the game before. They wave it off due to goaltender interference because of Marcus Foligno. To me, that was a bogus call. Should not have been made. He was outside of the crease. Fleury initiated contact. That's different than what happened to the Vegas Golden Knights in game number 6. Alex Tuch was in the crease. His body was in the crease. He was impeding the progress of Cam Talbot. So to me, those two situations aren't even close. The only thing that was in question to me in game 6 was because Matt Dumba's butt was there along with Alex Tuch, and maybe they would have said, you know, but he wasn't trying to get out of the crease. So those, to me, are two different situations. Would I have lost my mind? I don't know. I would have been disappointed. I think Cam Talbot would have lost his mind, and I think Marcus Foligno would have been right behind him, leading the way to figure out what is going on in this conspiracy theory.
Yeah, Cam said after the game, if they would have counted the goal, that he probably would have got fined for things he would have said after the game.
Yep.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Erickson Ek, you brought him up. He ran into the net or the post in game 6. He was banged up a little bit, but I read that he should be at 100% and good to go.
Yeah, you say he ran into it. I think he flew into it. He had some velocity in that. And when I was sitting right next to Tom there watching it on we watched the replay, and it looked like he hyperextended his knee. It didn't look good. He needed to be helped off the ice, and he hobbled down the passageway. We probably thought at that point in time, as hard as it would be to conceive of this team without Jules Erickson Ek, it looked pretty bad. And he ended up coming back, you know, probably missed like 2 shifts and came back out there. He said with a straight face yesterday, he's good to go. Dean Evason said with a straight face, Jules Erickson Ek is good to go. So that's a pretty important piece to this team, because we know that he was third on the team in scoring. We know that he delivered some huge goals, including the overtime winner in game 1. But it's just as important, the agitator factor that he brings to the ice. The opposition hates seeing Jules Erickson Ek, and the combination between him, Marcus Foligno, and Jordan Greenway has been awesome all season long, and it's continued into the playoffs. And that would be as big a blow to this team as anyone if they had to go without Jules Erickson Ek in game 7.
Kevin, one last question for you. I saw that Vegas is down a couple more guys. Now, researching it, these guys haven't really had an impact at all on the series, but it's like COVID-related, or they were in contact with someone that had COVID, something like that?
Yeah, they call it going on the COVID protocol list, and that can mean either you have it or you've been in contact with someone who has. But, you know, bottom line, that means they're not available. Ryan Reeves is one of them, yeah. I think there's another guy, too. Probably not huge that they're not available. The one, though, that is pretty significant is Braden McNabb. He missed a game earlier in the season in this series, and, in fact, I think he missed game 6. But he's a guy that has been draped all over Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov, and is very effective in helping to limit those guys because he plays a ton of minutes against them. Not having him available, I think, is a huge blow. So, you know, I don't know. Reeves, I don't think, has had a major impact on this series, and how much ice time would Ryan Reeves get in a game 7 anyway. But to me, Braden McNabb is a pretty significant piece missing from their blue line. So, hopefully that's something the Wild can expose.
You can be as homerific as you want. Who wins the game tonight?
Well, I can't picture a scenario where I would pick anyone but the Minnesota Wild, but I really do say, I mean, honestly, this series has been so close. The goaltending has been so wonderful, and then you're getting the timely goal scoring on both sides of the ice. You can see how the momentum has shifted, though, in favor of the Wild. They've won two straight. They're coming into T-Mobile Arena where it's never been. It's a house of horrors for just about everyone else except the Minnesota Wild. And then not only that, throw on top of the fact that the last team to blow a 3-1 series lead in the National Hockey League was the Vegas Golden Knights just 2 years ago to the San Jose Sharks. So a lot of those things, I think, work in favor of the Wild, what they can do physically, how they're in the minds of the Golden Knights mentally. And I think the Wild come away with a narrow victory. I don't think anyone's getting blown out tonight. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. But I do think the Wild come out on the winning end, and I can't wait to see who the new hero is.
Kevin, we'll hear from you later tonight on the pregame show. Enjoy, and hopefully next Friday we're talking about a few games into round number two. Appreciate the time. We'll hear from you tonight.
Hey, Aaron, by the way, I know that everyone's excited for the drop of the puck. That'll be at 8:10, but if you're checking us out on the pregame, former Wild head coach Jacques Lemaire is going to join me and Tom Reed. So make sure you're there early. He's phenomenal, and I'm sure everything we talk about won't be all in the pregame, so you probably want to check out the intermission, too, for the rest of it.
That's awesome. Thanks, Kevin.